In light of new video of the oil leak in the Gulf of Mexico, I don't know if you saw this, John, or not, but BP has seen that video, obviously. They're now conceding that possibly more oil than was originally estimated.
Well, the pictures are obvious. I mean, you can see.
Exactly. They didn't really have a choice but to concede that it's more than 5,000 gallons a day. We've been talking a lot about the economic costs of it. We've obviously heard a lot about its possible impact on wildlife. But the problem is we don't know what the impact is, and we won't know for quite some time. And there's at least 500,000 birds that died because of the Exxon Valdez oil spill. Clearly, there was also a very precarious species there in the sea otter that was impacted and probably will be for generations. So there are 12 species in the Gulf that are either endangered or threatened. And that includes, as we said before, sea turtles, a sperm whale, and the brown pelican. Joining us again, Jay Holcomb, director of the International Bird Rescue Research Center, and Michael Fry, an oil toxicologist at the American Bird Conservancy in Washington, D.C. Michael Fry helped clean up the Exxon Valdez spill, and Jay Holcomb is down in Louisiana now. Jay, you're there currently working. What have you seen there? Can you tell us what it looks like now?
Yeah, well, I'm working out of the Fort Jackson Rehabilitation Center, which is just about a little bit north of Venice, which is the closest land area you could get to the spill. And, you know, there's oil on some of the beaches and in the water, and some of it's suspended under the water, which is unusual. To me, I describe it as looking like a lava lamp. It's kind of this moving oil underneath, very odd. And there's some beaches that are very clean, and the birds are clean. So we're seeing, we have at our center here, 15 oil birds that have come in. Not that many, but they're not always easy to catch. So some of the birds are flighted, even though their bodies are oiled. We have to wait till they either weaken or it rains where they get wet, and we go after them. So that's generally what we're looking at.
Michael Fry, you helped clean up during the Exxon Valdez spill. And in that particular case, we're still seeing wildlife impacted by that. Can you kind of explain why there's this time delay in terms of the impact on wildlife from these kind of spills?
It's been a continuous thing for the last 15 years, so actually 21 years. Prince William Sound has very large tides, and when you get a foot-thick layer of oil coming into the beach and then the tide goes out, most of the beaches were cobblestones, and the oil would just go down 6 or 8 feet into the cobblestone beaches. And then it would also get trapped under mussel beds, shellfish beds along the coast. And so those birds, like harlequin ducks that were eating mussels, depending on those mussels for their breeding and raising kids, they would continually get oiled because the oil would stay in the mussel beds for years.
You know, let me ask you, Jay, because I saw a comment from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service saying they're not yet talking about any species being extinguished here. But there are species like the brown pelican. The brown pelican is fresh off the endangered species list. There are some very precarious animals in this area.
Yeah, there are. I mean, you know, the brown pelican is still vulnerable. And, you know, they were almost extinct in this state, and they were brought back in the 70s. They did this incredible program where they took chicks from Florida, and they brought them to the Breton Islands. We're pretty close to where we are right now. And actually raised them there to reestablish a population. And those chicks grew up and became adults and started breeding, and they built this whole population, which is now in the hundreds. And so they're vulnerable in the sense that if oil gets on an adult and the adult either dies or brings back oil to the eggs of the chicks, then it can kill that its whole family, so to speak. So there's a potential domino effect. Now, as far as numbers go, I don't know how far that could go. I've always said, as I've been doing a lot of media, that the worst-case scenario is a tropical storm or a hurricane taking the oil and spreading it around, and particularly over the nesting colonies. And 5 years ago, 2 months before the Katrina hurricane, we actually did an oil spill here where we had 600 baby pelicans that were covered in oil from a tropical storm. So it is a possibility.
And that storm is going to happen this year. Every year there are storms in the Gulf, Jay Holcomb. But Michael Fry, my question is to you. This is a heroic battle, not to save chicks, but to save species. And as wonderful and as heartwarming as it sounds, what Jay is describing, can 6 billion humans save species when they are so befouling the environment in this way? It seems to me almost a lost cause, Michael Fry.
Well, I don't think it's a lost cause. I'm a real optimist. optimist, and the only reason I'm work with oil spills is because I want to protect the birds and the marine mammals. But I think that, you know, there's a lot of resiliency in the wild populations. Pelicans have had enormous challenges, DDT and then hurricanes and then oil spills. But they're very long-lived birds if they don't get oiled. And fortunately, there are colonies in many other places besides just the mouth of the Mississippi or the Breton Islands National Wildlife Refuge. So I don't think there's a problem with populations here, but certainly individual groups of sperm whales, for instance, may certainly be extirpated just because when they surface in the oil, they suck in oil off the surface of the water because the surface tension is so different from regular surface of the ocean.
And that makes pelicans very vulnerable as well because they dive down through the water to get their food. But Jay Holcomb, let me just ask you, one of the things that people are pointing to as making this particular spill especially bad is because it's not just for the birds that nest there, like pelicans, oyster catchers, or black skimmers, but this is also a huge point for migratory birds. They're going to come in and stop off on their way to somewhere else, even songbirds like warblers or hummingbirds.
Right. If it impacts the food chain, which is what they're concerned about with the oil dispersing through the water, then it can impact everything. So that's just that. It's just going to be wait to see what happens.
Wait to see how long.
I don't know. That's the crystal ball question. I don't have the answer to. We're still waiting to get them to stop to plug the oil so we can get on with this and look towards an end for the spill.
Okay, Jay Holcomb, director of the International Bird Rescue Research Center. He's a partner in overseeing the rehabilitation program down there in Louisiana. And Michael Fry joined us. He's an oil toxicologist at the American Bird Conservancy in D.C. And it really does beg the question that you've been asking all morning, John. As we learn to create life, we're also learning to destroy it.
Well, and we've destroyed plenty of it already, but creating synthetic life in a laboratory and using laboratory techniques to save oil-soaked animals in the Gulf, it's a real nail-biter.